Thank you for listening to the Resting Place Church podcast. Our dream is that your heart would find rest as we learn to practice the ways of Jesus faithfully. So we hope this message both blesses and encourages you.
Our Christmas service this year is just really, it's entitled, He is with us. Everybody say, He is with us. I want to read a couple scriptures to you this morning. Sophia's going to throw them up on the screen. We'll go with that Matthew scripture first. Very familiar scripture around Christmas time. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says, Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Everybody say, God is with us. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, God is with us. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 14. So the Word became human and made his home among us. Say, among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Let's pray this morning. Father, show us how you are with us. Show us how you are among us. Speak to us something that we need to hear this morning. Encourage our hearts. Strengthen us. If we are tired, love us where we are. And say whatever you need to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jansen, you are good this morning. Everybody give it up for Jansen this morning. He's a man of God. Well, so glad that you're here. So glad that you joined us for our Christmas service. Today is a little bit different. I felt like that I was supposed to do something different for our Christmas service. Pastors, if they're lying to you, they will tell you that Christmas is the easiest time to preach and Easter is the easiest time to preach. And they're liars because you either have to steal someone else's sermon or you have the challenge of coming up with something that nobody's ever heard before. And both of those are... Stealing someone else's sermon should be kind of challenging to you. It should make you feel kind of weird. And then coming up with something fresh and new that no one's ever heard before about Christmas and Easter is also a bit challenging. But I was really praying, and I was like, man, how can we make this different? How can we make this impactful to celebrate Christmas this year? And I was thinking about our staff. We were in a meeting, and I was like, man, I wonder what we need to call this. And we were throwing these names around, and I was sitting there, and it's very funny what happens, like, in a meeting when everyone's talking, and I, like, have to think for a second. I literally go into this, like, I literally do this, and I'm like, I need everything, like, y'all can keep talking, but I'm just going to, like, think for a second. And I said, like, he is with us. And Emily's like, oh, my God, I love that. And she just starts, like, tearing up in the meeting. And I'm like, all right, that's probably it. Then we'll go with that one. But instead of coming at this from the angle of me getting up here and preaching you a sermon, I have... asked for some help to preach this morning, and they're not going to come on the stage with me, but they are going to be on the screen this morning, because I don't want you to just hear it from me that he is with us. Does that make sense? it's very easy for me to get up here and say, God is with us, and tell you all of the ways that he's been with me. And some of you are sitting there and you're like, yeah, but he hasn't been with me that way. And so instead of me getting up here and telling you all the ways that God has been with me, I want you to hear from some people that are just a part of our church. They're not on our leadership team. They're just a part of our church. And God has done something in their lives here at Resting Place Church. And he has made God with us a reality to them. And I think it's so important that we don't just casually bypass the fact of Christmas, that God is with us. I think it's so important to stop and celebrate. And by what I mean by casually just stop and do it is that I get up here and read the scripture, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. And then we just move on from that and celebrate like every other Christmas. What does God with us mean? What does that mean? Why is that real? Why is it not just a theory? How does it become personal to us? I want you to turn your attention to the screen, and Nick and Ray Baker are going to help me preach my first point this morning. So watch the screen really quick.
It's just rejuvenated our family. For a while there, we just weren't in a place where church was our priority. We still went on Sundays, but it just felt kind of empty. And it's really rejuvenated us, and we just feel like we're walking with Jesus right now. I just think we're moving forward as a family together through Resting Place Church.
Rejuvenated and restored. I told him one day that I'm only going to church for the kids. Didn't really feel fulfilling in our life and kind of felt lost, misguided, not intentional anymore. I personally struggled just with my faith in general. It just felt so burnt out. I've used the terminology a lot, like a safe harbor, and that's what we needed and wanted. I'll never forget what felt like a God wink or like a literal answered prayer to me was the first Sunday we were there, Cole referenced The Body Keeps the Score, which is a book about trauma, in his sermon. And I just cried because it felt like God had seen me so specifically, but of finding a place where the things that mattered to me and felt so integral to my faith in particular, and where can I find that in a body and in a community locally, and does it even exist anymore? You know, I'd kind of lost belief and faith in that. And just that little thing just felt like such a God wink to me personally, and what I had wanted in a pastor and in a church, and just seeing people and seeing the whole community truly, like the whole, all the way around, this is a place where you can find that. It just kind of gave life back to all of us as a unit. When we had thought about this, almost at the same time we said community, because we have moved around a ton when he was in the military and just never really got to land and like put roots somewhere. Moving back here, we had belonged to another church that was great, but it was so just sort of big and spread out, in the sense that I remember thinking one day the kids were sick and he had to stay home, and I remember I went in and out and nobody like waved at me or knew my name, and to no fault of anybody else, they just didn't know me. And I thought, like, I don't really want to go to church where I go in and I'm a part of the whole experience from start to finish and nobody knows my name. I said this exactly to him. I said, I want church, wherever that is next for us, I want it to be so deeply rooted in our family. I've never belonged to a group of people or a body of people that immediately, so quickly, scooped us up and said, you're with us.
Finding community for me in the military was more like the people you work with are like your family, because you literally spend every single day with them. And then you move to a new duty station and you have to make new friends, start new connections. And it's just really hard to build that community, like a lifelong community. This is the first place that I felt like the friends that I'm making are people that I would be comfortable with going to grab coffee or doing something as an entire family or like just letting our kids hang out together. It's people that I want to surround myself with as a family.
Like it feels like the part two to the last question of our family finally gets to put roots down for the first time. But the first thing that came to mind with that was our kids. They're so little, you know, they're 2 and 5. Just for our family, we don't have to move anymore. There's no expiration date or timeline on this. It's just a safe place to grow in a solid way. I can't wait to watch our kids grow up around other kids in community. We want a community for ourselves as a married couple and as young adults, but I want community for my babies too. I think we have it.
I think the Build It campaign is amazing. Just having a place that allows the church to give back to our community more. That is something that's, you know, really important to us. Being at a church that is about what they say they're about, just in the long run, like with our family, I just feel like Pastor Cole and Brandon just make decisions for the youth that are very intentional. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they want to partner up with us as parents just to make sure that you know, we're raising our kids to know the truth and know who Jesus is. It honestly feels like we're just like surrounded on all sides by people who care. And I've not felt that before. So this is, it's just exciting for the future to know that we're cared for and our kids are cared for.
We found ourselves here at RPC and it's like, these people do what they say they're gonna do. They do what Jesus did. They are the hands and feet. And that is our call to action as believers.
Come on, can you give it up for Nick and Ray this morning? So I've watched these videos a lot so that I can desensitize myself to them so that I don't cry on stage while preaching. But I hope you cry while watching them. One of the things when I watched their video, I was thinking, God is with us. What does that mean? What does it mean that God's with us? And I could not help but to think about the part where she said that there was a God wink, right? The first thing that I think God with us means is that he sees you. God sees you. He sees you and where you're at right now. I think about Hagar in Genesis 16. And in Genesis 16, she cries out for a child. God gives her a child, and she responds like this. God has seen me. Therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me." And she also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" There's something so beautiful about the fact that God is the one who sees us, but also we can see the one who sees us. We can see the one who sees us at work in our lives all the time. God with us starts with knowing that you're seen. There's something so special about the entire story of Jesus, really, and our faith, is that God saw a people who needed him, and He heard the cry of their heart that we need a Savior. And God wraps himself in flesh and comes and dwells among us so that he can see us and we can see him. One of the most beautiful things about the gospel is that we have to know that when we look at Jesus, when we read the gospel, that is God saying, "Look at me." He comes and shows himself to us, makes himself seen, but also make sure that we are seen. And I want you to know, if you're in the room today, you're seen. You are seen by God. God knows exactly where you're at in life in this moment. Even if you have not been serving him, even if you haven't been to church in God knows how long, he sees you, and he knows exactly what you need right now in this season of life. And it's so, so, so important that you know that. This Christmas season, the God with us anthem, that you put a fresh meaning to that. It's not just, he's with us. No, he's with us and he sees us. He sees us. And so I'm going to move on to the next point, but there's going to be another couple that helps me preach the next point. And so I want you to give it up for Gentry and Ashley Brown this morning.
Being a part of Resting Place has done lots for my family, but it's done a lot more for me as a leader of my family. There's been, for a good majority of our lives, I was a musician first, and I didn't mean to be a musician first, but I just was a musician first. And that being a part of Resting Place, we come to church as a family, and it's helped me reprioritize my family, and it's done wonders. It's brought us closer together. We spend a lot of time together, and we love Sundays, and we love the community and the time that we get to spend with everyone.
The biggest thing that we have found at Resting Place is just community, a family, people that we feel like we can do life with. We've been a lot of places where we've been needed for what we can bring to the table or for our giftings, but not necessarily wanted for who we are as people. We've also been places where they only want you on your good days. They don't want to really walk with you through grief or hard times and just expect you to put on, you know, your brave, happy face. And I've never felt like I had to be like that at Resting Place. I felt like I could come as I am, and I'm gonna be accepted. And also just, I feel like our children have friends. I have friends, Gentry has friends. And we've never really been somewhere where all parts of our family have been taken care of in that way.
Or included. Mm-hmm. We feel included, we feel seen, and we feel heard.
Most excited about living in Knoxville.
Living in Knoxville.
And having community, even more day-to-day life with everybody, having play dates with our kids, just being there, being fully present, and being able to come to small groups and
lunch.
Just normal stuff. Just what I'm really excited about that. I'm excited to watch our kids grow up with everyone else's kids. I'm excited to see the new building once it's built.
I'm excited. Right, we're ready to be there.
Fully.
Come on, can you give it up for them this morning? There's something really cool. I don't know if all of you know Gentry and Ashley, but they drive from like Georgia every week. So like they live 200 miles, like they have to travel 200 miles here and back. And they have made this church. I mean, there's a lot of churches between there and here. You know, it's 200 miles. But there is something about what God's doing in their life, and they've responded to that. But as I was watching their video, I was thinking about what else does God with us mean? What does that mean? And Ashley said this in the video, and I was like, oh, that's what it means. That like, she can come here just as she is. And I think something that God wants you to know about this Christmas season, God being with us, is that he wants you. He doesn't want a fake version of you. He doesn't want a version of you that's not real. He wants you. He wants your good sides and your bad sides. He doesn't say their behavior has been great this week, so they're good to go this week. And then a couple weeks later, their behavior hasn't been good, and they're not good to go that week. No, God wants you. The biggest mistake that we make in the church is that we tell people to come just as they are, but then when they do that, we immediately demand that they change. You ever notice that? It's like, come just as you are if you meet this list of requirements. Or come just as you are if you support this and don't support that, right? God wants you. He wants you. One of my favorite stories in the entire canonized scripture is the story about Peter. Peter is a faithful friend of all of us, mainly because he has a big mouth and says things when he's not supposed to and gets in a lot of trouble. Maybe not a faithful friend of you, but me, okay? So I'll take that. Peter's been a faithful friend, and if Peter has hope, I guess I do too. One of my favorite stories, though, is that the same God, the same Jesus, that sat with Peter in a circle with the other disciples, and he asked the question. He says, who do you say that I am? And all the other disciples, they gave the wrong answer. And Peter speaks up and he says, no, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus immediately speaks and he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Like, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to use you to build the church. And then not long after that, Peter has changed his mind about all of that. He has gone back to be a fisherman, and he has denied Jesus, and he has gone back to his old life. And my favorite thing about God is that he does not let Peter do that. He shows up to Peter in that state. So the same God that showed up to Peter and said, you're going to build the church, when he was full of faith and saying, yeah, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, that same God also shows up on this beach where Peter is fishing after he has denied Jesus. Why? Because God does not just want your good parts. He wants the parts of you where you don't have any faith. He wants all of it. He wants you. The deepest struggle that people have is when they find out that God actually really is relational. Like, that this is not if you make him happy this week or if you make him sad this week, then your standing with him does some weird thing. It, like, it's not good, then it's good. When they find out that God is actually relational and he is love, that is what becomes problematic to Christians. That's what is the most problematic thing about God to people, is that he actually is relational. It's that you can't do anything for him. And he doesn't want you to. You can't do anything to earn the love of God. You can't do anything to make the love of God fizzle out on you. He wants you. He wants to be with you. That is the most challenging thing about our faith, because, man, do we love to be self-righteous. We love when it's up to us. We love when it's about our love for God. But the reality is, God with us was never about our love for God. God with us, Emmanuel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us because God so loved us. God so loved the world that he gave. It wasn't that God so hated you, so he had to come and satisfy God's wrath. There's two versions of the gospel that are super popular in America. Super popular. One of them, I think, is probably heresy. But the gospel is that it's not that God is so disappointed in you and God so hates you and God just finds you utterly disgusting that he had to send Jesus so that he could find him clean and holy and pure so that he didn't have to kill you, so he killed Jesus instead. That is not the gospel. The gospel is that God wanted to be with you, so he wrapped himself in flesh and came to be with you. And I think it's so, sometimes we miss it so often. Because we think that God is here in spite of us. And God did not come, God did not wrap himself in flesh in spite of you. He wrapped himself in flesh because of you. He wants to be with you. Every single part of you. There is a great book. It's called All Together You. It's written by a therapist. And it talks about how we have parts to us. We have good parts. We have bad parts. But all of those parts make up us. And here's the beautiful thing about God. He wants all of them. He wants them all. He wants the selfish part. He wants the rebellious part. He wants the part of you that you really do not want to show other people. He wants the part of you that's full of hatred and greed and lust and envy and pride. He wants all of those parts of you. That is why Jesus came. He is God with us. Because he wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. This next part, Rebecca Biddy is going to help me preach. I want you to turn your attention to the screen.
Well, I know that being a part of Resting Place Church has brought healing, and they do that through love, literally, and they help to, through that love, bring acceptance, bring maturity, bring the growth that you need. That's helped to change my mindset, how I think about myself, how I think about others. They make you feel like you're a part of something greater, that you're not just a butt warm in a chair. It just makes you feel pretty special. You're a part of a family. I felt like I finally have purpose. You know, I'm not just wandering around aimlessly trying to figure out what to do, but this place gives me purpose. You can be yourself, you can have your imperfections, and they still accept you. And they try to help you through your hard times, and they're you know, laughing with you with the good stuff and crying with you with the bad stuff. And it's one big family. It's not always happy, but it is a great family, and you always have that support. I really am excited about the Build It vision, 100%. It's always been a big part of where I feel like my purpose is. I feel like building the church to serve the community is one of the biggest things that Jesus wants us to do. He started a church doing that. He, you know, showed us how we are supposed to treat each other. We're supposed to be a part of other people's lives. We're supposed to touch the community. We're supposed to branch out and help those that are in need and feed the hungry, clothe the people who don't have clothes, and, you know, give shelter and home to the homeless. It's a huge part of my heart. And I love that they are implementing that vision into a reality. They're building a building so that we can participate, filling the holes, filling the voids that are there. It touches my heart because that is what I feel like the church should be. And Resting Place Church shows that they are that church.
Can you give it up? Can you give it up one time? You can stand with me all over the room. The last thing that I think that God would want you to know in this season of life that you're in right now, the first thing is that he sees you. The second thing is that he wants to be with you. And I think the last thing that he would want you to know, that God with us, he is with us. What does that mean? I think he would want you to know that he has something special and specific for you inside of a family of believers. There's a verse in Psalm 68. It says this. It says, God sets the lonely in family. And there's another translation of that that I think I like more. It says this. It says, God settles the lonely people inside of a family. And I think what you need to know is that in this season of life, that I feel like that some of you are in the room today, and I feel like that God is settling you. He is causing you to settle down. And by settle down, I don't mean your behavior, unless you need to settle down. There's a great country song, "All My Rowdy Friends Have Settled Down." Hank Williams Jr. Yeah, it's great. But there is a settling that needs to take place in some of your heart because he has something special and specific for you. There is purpose inside a family. One of the fastest growing church models in America, one of their things, and I actually agree with this, I think it's actually really good. One of the things that they say is that they want you to discover your purpose. I just disagree on what they tell you your purpose is. But I do think that God wants you to know that your life has purpose and meaning, and it is significant. And what you do while you're on this earth is significant. He came to be with us so that we would have what he has. There's a great church father that says it like this. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become sons of God. The most significant thing about you is that you are his. And the quickest way to get that revelation is to get inside of a family of people who actually believe that about themselves. The quickest way to be convinced that you are his and there's nothing that you could ever do for you to not be his is to get around people who are so convinced that they are actually his. They are actually his. God has something specific and special for you inside of this church family. Most pastors won't say what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to be a part of this church. Most pastors are afraid to say that because it feels thirsty. I want you to be a part of this not because I have some ego issue where I need to grow our church, but because I believe what God is doing here is special and it's significant. And I believe that there is a group of people in the earth right now, and I never use language like this, but I think it's so significant. There is a group of people in the earth right now that you are so over church as usual. You are so over this feeling like an event. You are so over this feeling like a show. You are so over being a butt in a seat and looking at a spectacle on a stage. You want to belong to a family. And I am telling you that there is significance and there is something special inside a family. And God came, Jesus, God with us, God among us, came to bring you closer into his family. Jesus did not come to divide. He did not come to find those people in the earth who really wanted to love God and say, yeah, you're welcome at this table. He didn't come to say, all of you people who live your life right, you're welcome. But all of you people who are sick, all of you people who are longing for something, there is something your soul is longing for. There is something that is just not scratching the itch. He didn't come and say, no, you have to stay away. What makes the gospel so scandalous is that you are included. And it doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. He didn't ask you. What makes the gospel scandalous is not who it keeps out. It's who it lets in. What makes it so controversial? What makes it bothersome? What makes the gospel bothersome to the spirit of religion is who it includes. Because what religion will always do is separate. What institutionalized religion will do is it will put an elite group of people over here and a not elite group of people over here. And Jesus comes to say, those of you who believe that you are healthy, you don't need me. It's those of you that know that you're sick. I've come from the sick. I've come for those who know that they need a healer. And there is something so significant about part of this message that he is with us. That you get this revelation that you are included in the us part, whether you know it or not, whether you want to confess it or not, whether you believe it or not. He didn't ask you. Jesus did not knock on your door and ask you if he could die for you. He just did. And our response to that is to follow him. I heard it said like this one time, and I think this is so true. God's gift to us is righteousness. God's gift to us is righteousness. Our gift to him is holiness. And I don't mean holiness by you are perfect. That's not what I mean. Holiness is that you keep showing up to the one that is holy. We have so confused holiness and self-righteousness in the church. Jesus came and gave you righteousness. You are right with God. There's nothing you can ever do to change that. Our gift to him is our holiness in the world, where we become the hands and feet of Jesus, where we have righteous acts of justice, where we feed the hungry, where we clothe the naked, where we heal the sick. That's what holiness is. That's what God with us means. That's the significance that's on the other side of family. It's not just God died to make you a door greeter, or God died so that you can run a camera or make coffee, and he did die so that you could do that because we need people to do all of those things.
Amen.
But when you have this revelation, when the light bulb comes on, there is something in your heart that leaps, that says, I have got to be a part of that. And I'm telling you, there is a whole generation of people in the earth right now whose hearts are like, I am looking for something more. I am looking for something real. I don't want any more of the fluff. I don't want any more of the flatter. And the real thing that you are looking for is family. It's a church family. I have friends who pastor huge megachurches. And if I brought them on this stage, every single one of them would say, there's something about this that is not right. And we're missing something that you have. And that's not saying that this church will never grow. That's not to say that. But this family aspect of it can never change. Like in the future, I don't see myself as some great mega church pastor. I don't see myself as that because I don't want to be that. I want to know the names of the people who sit in this room and who'll sit in our new building. And I want you to be able to text me. There is something that people are looking for, and it's that. If I could say something really prophetically this morning that I really wasn't planning on saying, I believe that God's gift to you this Christmas is family. God's gift to you this Christmas is family. And it's a deeper sense of what that means. I even feel in the room this morning, I feel the Lord saying to someone in this room today that you need to be jealous for your time with your family. You need to be jealous for your time with your family. You need to guard it. You need to make sure that it's happening. Not out of a place of fear, right? Not because something's bad's gonna happen, but because that is where life is inside of that. And so this morning, I wanna pray for everyone in the room that you would know those three things. And if you need prayer this morning, there's gonna be people who come down to the front and they're gonna pray with you if you need prayer for anything at all. And so this morning, Lord, I'm praying today that you would let us know that you see us. Give us, like Rachel said, the God wink that we need so that you know, or that we know that you see us. Lord, I pray that we would get a revelation that you want to be with us. Give us the revelation that Ashley shared this morning, that we can come to you and we don't have to put on our face for church. We don't have to wear a mask. We can be real, we can be honest, we can be vulnerable, we can be open, because you want all the parts of us. And Lord, give us a revelation that Rebecca shared with us this morning of purpose being inside of a family of believers. Prick our hearts for that. Lord, we are thankful for what you are doing among us. We are thankful for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Really quick before we leave, Resting Place Church, can we give it up for any guests that we have in the room with us? So glad that you joined us today. So glad that you're a part of this. We would love to connect with you. There's a QR code on the back of your seat that you can scan. Fill out a connection card there. We would love to connect with you or just meet you after service. We want to get to know you. We want to know your name. We want to meet you. And just a reminder, we do not have church the next 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks. We'll be putting some stuff out on social media for you, but we do not have church the next two weeks, because I believe that if you put stuff on your wall, you probably need to practice it. And so I want you to really have a great time over the next 2 weeks with your family. I want you to spend time with your family. I want you to prioritize your family in this Christmas season. Go see them, go visit them, and then come back on January the 7th. January the 7th is the first Sunday, right? Is it 7th? It's the 7th, something like that. Something like that. Come back the first Sunday of the year. We will not be here on the 31st. We will not be here on the 24th. So whatever Sundays after those two dates, we'll be back. And we're going to be starting our new Genesis series. We talk about the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of that good stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have notebooks available. But if you need prayer for anything this morning, we have people down here in the front willing to pray for you. I love you, and I will see you next year. We'll see you. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Pastor Cole here. Thank you so much for watching today. Our challenge to you is that you would now join us in person. You can go on our website right now to plan your visit to Resting Place Church. We love you, and we hope to see you soon.